What's up, it's Chase Young.
What's up, this is Terry McLaurin.
This is Ryan Fitzpatrick.
You're listening to the Washington Football Talk Podcast.
Greetings from Ashburn, Virginia, where every blade of grass is getting cut at the exact same time. We're going to give you a podcast. You better listen up. Let's go.
On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field, too, when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care.
What up, everybody? It's JP Finley. It's the Washington Football Talk Podcast, brought to you by Oarsman Automotive of Virginia. We ride with them, expect you to do the exact same thing. Joined by Pete Haley and Mitch Tischler, as always. Obviously, the big news of the day is they cut Steve Sims. This is not a surprise, but let's all react to it.
I've done a really good job of picking my players who are going to sneak onto the roster so far. Lamar Miller gone. Steve Sims gone. Somebody else. Oh, I don't even remember, but I know
you had Adam Humphries off.
Yep, yeah. So I, again, just have a real pulse of this team. But I think it's encouraging because now they've cut Kelvin Harmon and Steven Sims, two guys who were slated to be big parts of the offense last year. Harmon tore his ACL but was thought to be a potential starter. And Sims got a lot of work too, so it shows how this roster is improving. And Sims, maybe 10 days ago, was on fire. He really had cooled as of late, and guys like Dax Millen have surged. So it makes sense to get rid of Steven Sims at this juncture.
Unlike all the mowers around here, Steven Sims didn't make enough noise
correct
to make this roster. But I think it says more about the rest of the roster than it does about Steven Sims specifically. I think some of those folks on the back end of it, and when you talk about kick and punt return game and all that jazz, I think you're seeing folks step up and start to make plays. And, you know, it's unfortunate that Steven Sims played as well as he did in his rookie season and wasn't able to follow it up in that sophomore campaign. But you kind of saw a little bit more of who he is. And I think it says that this team can't be too concerned about Curtis Samuel because you would think that they need somebody to play that kind of...
I think they have no concerns about Curtis Samuel.
Okay, I think they have no concerns about... You think they have no concerns. I think by cutting Steven Sims, that tells you their concern level with Curtis Samuel because you would need somebody that can play that, you know, jackknife? That
jackrabbit
Swiss
knife?
Swiss Army
woodwork
knife
this
type of role. Yeah. So that's where I'm at.
So a couple things. I don't want to, like, drag Steven Sims because he was a nice young man. I enjoyed getting to know him a little bit, and it was an awesome story that rookie year. But what are the plays you remember? You remember the big run against the Pats.
Yep.
And you remember the kickoff return, right?
Yeah.
You had the crazy day where he scored two touchdowns and you hit.
And he also had a
70-1 or
a nice
something, right?
Or a nice season finale against the Cowboys where he had a couple really nice routes. But for the most part, it was gadgetry.
But we talk about his rookie year like it was Terry McLaurin's rookie year or something.
Right.
He had 34 catches for 310 yards, four touchdowns, an 85-yard run with a touchdown, and he ran a kickback. So he accounted for six touchdowns. That's impressive. But, like, I wonder about the sustainability of it all anyway. The numbers all dropped. Whenever you see a big pop in touchdowns like that, generally it's going to go the other way the following year. This was obvious to me. Like, it was coming. You knew Gandy Golden was the sixth. Some folks like Carter. I'm not sure that I do. I think Milne might be ahead of Carter. I don't know. Maybe they're going to keep seven wideouts. I don't think so. I definitely think they're going to keep four running backs. I wrote a story for the website that I think they're only going to keep nine O-linemen. That gives them another roster spot. They'd also tell you there's no fullback, so maybe that creates another roster spot. I've been thinking, I think Cam Sims is the fifth wideout and it's pretty firm. But if they wanted to keep AGG and Dax Milne, I don't know that I'd be shocked anymore. What has Cam Sims done?
This is a guy who in practice, I think if you tally up the amount of catches all these receivers have had, he'd be at the bottom of the list with Isaiah Wright. And we've all been kind of assuming he's going to make it because of what he showed last year. He made a lot of big plays, and he's good on special teams, and a lot of that doesn't show up. Yes, and that's all important. And
like, Catcher might scream for him,
yeah,
right?
And if they keep him, then no one's going to bat an eyelash. But I do think maybe his security has been a bit overstated, and he's.
Well, I think he came in with that level of security, but at some point you have to produce, and other guys are starting to produce.
And he fumbled against the Bengals.
Right.
Nobody likes turnovers. I think that's a good point. Maybe he's not as. We've talked about the level of ice that these players are standing on. I think maybe his ice is melting a little bit. A tad.
He's standing on ice.
Yeah.
But, like, if Terry McLaurin is in the Yukon territory, ice.
Yeah.
And I don't even want to get into, like, warming weather and ice caps melting, right? That ain't for us.
No.
But Terry McLaurin is chilling with Santa Claus and the Abominable Snowman in the North Pole.
Correct.
So, like, just the latitude.
That's the ones that run east-west, Pete.
Lat is fat. So I think you're trying to do longitude, maybe.
No.
Doing latitude. Like, okay. You got to get down to, like, Adam Humphries is in Minnesota, right?
Yeah.
Cam Sims is in, like, St. Louis in the winter? I don't know. Is it cold there?
He's definitely moving south as campus progresses.
He's moving south, and it's not at a rapid pace, but, like, the ice is still thick.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you can drive a car on it.
You can stand on it.
Right.
Might not be able to drive a car on it.
You can't go ice fishing on it.
No.
And you might be scared to have your kids out on it.
I'll tell you what. You mentioned Dex Milne over Carter on the back end, and I think that's – definitely something that's happened. That's a dude who just keeps getting open every chance he gets. And
either of those guys can go to the practice squad, no problem.
Right. He had two real nice plays in the red zone today. One against Troy Apke, where he just totally beat him off the line.
Really nice
he
release.
Caught a nice fade, in the back of the end zone. I see what you guys are saying about Cam Sims, and I understand a little bit the, wouldn't be shocked if he gets cut. I think he's still pretty firm. I don't think he's on the same.
I think he's 80% on the team.
Yeah, I don't think he's as firm as Adam Humphries.
But I would have thought he was 90%.
But I think Adam Humphries might be in, like, Montreal and
where'd I have Minnesota?
Yeah.
I'd argue points of Minnesota are further north than Montreal.
Yeah. But I'm
without looking at a map.
But I'm saying I think that Cam Sims is in Minnesota.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's fair. Wherever you want him to be. He's further south than the top four.
Correct.
And I'm just saying that he might be a little further south than he was 2 weeks ago.
And Dax Milne might be going upward.
Antonio Gandy-Golden is driving north.
Yeah.
Dax Milne is driving north.
Yeah.
Here's the ice scale. Here's the thing. Cam Sims gives you something that nobody
else. None of the rest of them do.
Roster gives you. Maybe AGG, if you think that that's how good AGG can be.
Are you talking about size on offense or special teams?
Size
both.
On offense.
Okay.
But both, but mostly red zone target, size on offense.
Right.
A different type of receiver than Terry McLaurin or Curtis Samuel or Adam Humphries in terms of what they can do with
their
body. But
there are competing schools of thought with that, too. There's the we have to build a basketball team receiving room where you need some point guards, you need some big men.
Let's talk about if we're going to do it.
But then there's also – the Chiefs just get as many good, fast dudes out there.
And I also think, like, Cam Sims, in theory, should be a red zone threat, but I don't think he necessarily has been. They have Logan Thomas to be that big body. They have Humphries and McLaurin to kind of work underneath, use their route running. So I don't necessarily think you need 89 as the post-up guy. You already have that in your tight end.
Yeah, I think that's fair, too. I don't know. The receiver group is – we knew it would be interesting. It's been interesting. But the Harmon thing – was not a surprise at all because he never got a single rep with Ryan Fitzpatrick on the field. The Steve Sims thing, not a surprise at this juncture. And Ron, I think, was super honest about it. He's like, dude, there wasn't going to be any opportunities for him. So has Harmon signed anywhere?
No.
Nope.
I'll be very curious to watch Sims. He's flashed in the league, but I'll be curious to watch him.
Yeah.
If it's – because there's – the first thing to watch is the next 24 hours with the waiver wire if somebody just claims them. And you'd only claim them because you have – I guess you still have 2 years of RFA status with him because he's an undrafted guy. You'd only claim him for the rookie part of this. But even then, I think he'll get some tryouts. But it's an interesting one to watch.
If he signs with, like, Green Bay or Kansas City, this area is going to freak out, a la Simi Cobbs.
The Simi Cobbs. The great Simi Cobbs heist by the New Orleans
Saints.
Simi Cobbs,
Brandon Banks, and now –
No, but the Simi Cobbs thing was so different.
I know.
It's even unfair to Steven Sims because Simi Cobbs never did anything. And when the Saints signed him to they're active from the Skins practice squad, people were flipping out.
Livid.
Convinced he was going to be Michael Thomas, and he never did anything there either.
Correct.
Speaking of not doing anything, depending how you want to look at it, the Washington offense with Ryan Fitzpatrick has not scored a touchdown. Before we do that, I want everybody to remember September 2nd, MGM National Harbor, Tap Sports Bar. Here's what we'd like. If you are having a fantasy draft with your boys, come have your fantasy draft there. Like, just come do it there. They got Wi-Fi. They got everything you need. Me, Mitch, Pete, B. Mitch, we'll be walking around. We can give you advice. We can clown your boys. We can just hang out.
I could even serve you drinks. I could be your waiter.
If you're not having a fantasy draft, that's cool too. Come on out, because it's going to be a fun night. Here's something else I learned. We're giving away beer again.
Yes.
Hey.
How about that?
How about
that? So if you needed another reason to come out, shout out Adam Hordell. We're giving out 100 beers. I've been saying it forever. I'm going to give you one. So get there. You probably want to get there early if you want
Definitely.
A free beer. Just saying.
Exciting.
Number might as well be 80, because I feel like I've got 20 in my system before we even get going.
I believe that. So Pete had a story on this. All I want to say about the offense is, because you did a good job detailing specifics, right?
Thanks.
I'm going to give you, what did Michael Scott call them? General specifics? If it's week one against the Chargers, and Ryan Fitzpatrick has thrown for 150 yards with no touchdowns, no interceptions, and I think it would be 13 of 21. And the team has generated 6 points, 2 field goals. Anybody worried about that? In a half of football?
Yeah. I'm not jumping up and down, but that's just the first half of a game.
Yeah. You want more, but you're not going to be
hitting
the panic.
What if that's his stat line with about 5 minutes left in the second quarter of the first game?
You're feeling okay about it.
It's fine.
Yeah.
It's not great, but it's fine.
It's time to punch it in here or there.
That's what he's done. He's played about 2 quarters, a little less than 2 quarters. He's thrown for more than 150 yards. They haven't scored, but he hasn't turned it over yet. Relax.
I like that. Yeah, I'll expand on it. I just think there was a couple of misses that you hope are uncharacteristic, and I know Fitz is not the most accurate passer, and some of his years he's been very inaccurate, but lately with Miami, he's fixed that a little bit better, been more on point with his delivery, and he had that 3rd-and-7 to Logan Thomas, where he's thrown that pass to Logan 30 times in camp, and they've connected on 26 of them, and, you know, that night on against the Bengals, it just didn't happen. He missed Humphreys and Thomas in the end zone. Deami Brown had that sliding catch from Fitz when Fitz rolled out, escaped right, and put it on him. It was a little low, but Brown couldn't come up with it. So there are plenty of plays to be made. To me, it's not like they're 3 and out getting snuffed constantly and showing no momentum or anything. They're just not fully there, fully gelling. And again, another one you'd like to think that they convert more often than not is that 4th-down-and-1 rush to Gibson. The play was decently blocked. He just didn't get there for whatever reason. So I think, again, 6 drives, 2 in 1 game, 4 across the other. Let them play a couple games here to really get in a rhythm, show the full playbook, what Scott Turner really wants them to do. We haven't seen any jet sweep stuff, any real creativity. I am right there with you, JP. I'm not too angsty. And I'm normally very angsty about everything.
Yeah, I think the vanilla portion of the offense is certainly something to point to in some regards, especially as you get to the red zone where it's hard to run vanilla offense, or the inside the 30. It's hard to run a vanilla offense and score because teams are, you know, it's crowded areas back there. But maybe I'm a little more angsty than you guys. I certainly no reason to panic by any means, but you point out a couple of the plays that he missed that you kind of hope he would make. He's also made a couple really nice throws and put him in some spots that, you know, they were great that he made them and you love it, but those aren't 100% accurate throws all the time. And I think about the one-on-one in New England that he threw to Logan Thomas on the outside. Great throw to the outside. Logan made a nice play on it, but, you know, it's a one-on-one 50-50 ball that he threw there. There was the ball to Terry McLaurin in New England where he kind of anticipated Terry getting all the way across the defense. And then the deep ball to Deami Brown against the Bengals. So as much as there have been a couple plays that he's missed, he's also hit on a couple plays that are not sure thing plays. And so I think it seems about right for where this offense is and the fact that they aren't running anything too exotic and scheming guys to get open. They just want their receivers to win one-on-one battles and for Fitz to help those receivers win those battles with those throws. I think once they start being able to scheme guys open and, you know, a lot more the motion and formational things that we've seen, I think we'll see the offense run a little bit better. But not time to panic, but I'm not totally sitting there comfortable, you know, feeling great about where things are.
So I'm not with you, but I think that's totally reasonable. Like, you've got a quarterback that hasn't started 16 games since 2015. You've got an offense that was terrible last year. Like, we also shouldn't just be assuming that everything's going to be good. That's what I keep going back to is that I never thought all along I've been saying they need to jump 10 spots, get into the top 20. This might be what a top 20 offense looks like. So I think it's about calibrating expectations, and I think expectations get out of hand. I can't imagine somebody that has really high expectations for the Washington offense. But I know those folks are out there.
Uh-huh. They are.
So I think that might be what they look like, but the key is to remember that it's still going to be way better. Listen, if like I'm kind of saying, the 150 passing yards at halftime. Do you know how hard that was for them last year?
Right.
Like
we were doing 200 yards as the over/under for game
and
for
taking
the
unders quite often.
So he has 156 passing yards in two games, in two quarters. It's a little less than two quarters. In
is that the number that Alex Smith hit like three times?
That was 178.
178.
Okay. And that was in 18. But just hear me out on this. That projects to 312, correct?
Right.
Against the Bucs, the game where everybody loved Heinicke, 289 yards passing. Against the Eagles, where they were god-awful, but they won, 145 yards passing. The Panthers, they lost, 278 yards passing. The Seahawks, they lost, 269 yards passing. The Niners, do you guys remember this number? They had 95 pass yards against the Niners.
Yeah, that was Alex and Dwayne.
Alex had one leg, and then Dwayne was Dwayne. They didn't have a 300-yard passing game. You have to go back
Lions.
To the Lions and the Giants when Alex comes in the second half and throws all over the place and they lose.
Right.
Don't freak out yet. If you want to be concerned, it's okay. I get it. Just don't freak out yet.
I also think it's funny to close this. We like being binary on this podcast, but like if that fifth throw to Humphreys connected, just one throw, maybe 8 inches lower, then all of a sudden everybody's celebrating and feeling great about
that. Dude, things. If he connects to Thomas or Humphreys.
Yeah. It shouldn't be that big of a difference, I don't think, because I just believe Fitzpatrick will be able to make those throws more often than
but
not.
But Ron said it. You also got to hit your scores.
It is a results-oriented biz.
I'm not usually the wet blanket in all this, but two plays before that, those two throws to Humphreys and Logan Thomas, he should have thrown a pick to the linebacker right over the middle.
Totally.
So I mean,
and I think we're going to see that.
Plays. Yeah.
Like
I think that's.
I think we're going to see all of this.
Yeah.
I just think there will be. I remember, I talked about this on the radio. Kirk in 2016 threw for almost 5,000 yards, 4,900 passing yards.
Yeah.
You know how many touchdowns he threw that year?
23.
25.
That doesn't really balance
like
out.
Like, yards are my indicator, because if you pile up yards, ideally points follow. But you got to get the points, too.
Yeah, I hear you. And to be fair, I've been pro Fitz. Today, he didn't exactly
today
bounce back.
Not good.
Today was a very good defensive day, if you were.
Was it, or were they just sailing balls?
They were picking them off. I mean, left and right.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees? Check. Loaner cars and free car washes? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman, Kia of Alexandria. Let's ride together.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.
All right, a couple things. I think we'll pod. The practice schedule has changed, which is more conducive to podding. I don't want to speak for everybody, but I think we'll be able to pod most days this week. It is... How hot do you think it is inside this tent? I mean, it's got to be 110 degrees in here, right?
Yeah, I really hate it.
I'm going to try to pull – we'll use the temperature on my phone, and I don't know that my phone will accurately convey what inside this tent is like. You ready?
Yep.
Any guesses?
I think it's 93 feels like 99. That's my guess.
I think it's Devereaux Lawrence feels like Tim Settle.
My phone, this is registering in Ashburn, says 91 feels like 99.
Yeah. Nice job. This tent, really couldn't figure out how to get that AC going. It's been a huge downfall for us.
It has. I think we're ready to rock here, unless there's anything you guys need to address.
You mean ready to rock as in one thing?
Yeah.
Or as ready to leave? Also, no interview today, correct?
Correct.
Okay,
correct.
That's okay. More time with us.
Yeah, I'm ready for one thing if you guys are.
As my dad used to say, apparently, when someone on my basketball team would get hurt, and this was, you know,
He's already trying to make it sound better because what he's about to say is bad.
Is this going
to
be a Tressway dollar fine situation?
Light injuries, you know, nothing too serious. More playing time for my boy. No interview today.
So my guy,
more playing time for
my
us.
My guy Gary Haley's out here just rooting for kids to get injured. That's the way I hear it.
And Pete's rooting for more airtime. Yeah. So here we are.
I mean that apple and that tree are pretty close. Yeah.
All right.
Pete's out here hoping I sprained my vocal cords. I think.
No, I want to.
Why do you think he broke your ribs?
I know, really.
Me. Yeah, I'm sure it was.
One of us did. I guess neither of you have still read Separate Piece. One day somebody's going to read it. The guy's even named Finn.
One thing.
Huck Finn?
Not Huck Finn.
Troy Apke actually drew multiple positive reviews today. One from Ron Rivera, one from Kendall Fuller. And according to them, this little position transition has picked up in recent days. We saw him get beat by Dax Milne. Milne had a really nice release on him. Terry McLaurin loved what Milne did, but Apke came back later, had a leaping interception, showed off some of that athleticism. And between this uptick in work at corner and his usual contributions on kick and punt coverage, I think Troy Apke is on the roster as of now. This can always change because I've talked about Steven Sims and he faded and stuff. But Apke has put himself in a good spot.
You got Apke on the roster? Did I hear that right?
Yeah.
At what point do we start talking about the Haley jinx?
Let me hear this roster of yours.
At corner, the usual suspects, Jackson, Fuller, Moreland, BSJ, McTyre, Apke, over the likes of Danny Johnson and Daryl Roberts. Six corners. Because Apke can kind of be that swing safety. Then McCain, Collins, Curl, Everett, I guess? No, Forrest.
So you're going back to six and
maybe
four.
Maybe I drop.
And you're
cutting DeShazer,
Everett.
No Reeves or Shays.
You're cutting DeShazer and
Reeves. I'm
keeping
DeShazer, dropping McTyre. 5-5.
You're keeping Apke over your boy McTyre.
I am. Yeah, I really am.
I don't know how the numbers work out to it, but I think it's going to be tough for them to cut Reeves the way that Ron talks about it.
I don't think
him.
They're cutting Reeves.
Yeah, I don't know that they're – I mean, anyway. Okay, Pete.
Yeah, pack your bags, Troy, apparently.
Yeah, that might be a tough one.
What's funny is I didn't get to hear Ron, but Kendall was asked about Apke, so he then gave a good review of Apke. What do you want Kendall to do in that situation?
I hear you, but I think there's a difference between
– Okay, just answer the questions.
No.
Because my one thing was going to be about Apke also.
I think there's a difference between a player – going, oh,
can
yeah,
I give you my one thing then?
He's getting it. He's
I'm
understanding it versus he's
the,
popped
the
as
one
of late,
thing
which is
off
what Kendall said. Yeah. Is this a one thing off?
It's a one thing off.
Oh, God.
Because it's tough because anytime there's an interception, we all tweet about it. So then all the fans see it because they're not here, and it becomes a thing. So Kendall gets asked about Apke. What the hell is he supposed to do? He gives a nice quote. He's playing well. Guy really making the switch. Ron was asked about him. What the hell is Ron supposed to do? That guy sucks. We moved him from safety to corner because he can't play safety. Just hang on.
Yeah.
I go back to Kelvin Harmon particularly. Kelvin Harmon made some nice catches. We tweeted about it.
Yeah.
He only played against the third string. Have you seen Apke getting reps against Fitz? Because I have not. And I'm asking that as a real question. Maybe you guys have seen it. I have not once.
I have not either, but I think he has made the transition from going up against Montez and Allen to going up against Heinicke, which is, for him, a step up.
Has he?
Yeah. Today he picked off Heinicke.
I hear you
on the quotes thing, but I still...
They move these pieces around a lot. I've seen McTyre get first team work.
Yeah.
I've seen Daryl Roberts get first team work.
Jackson
and Jackson's not participating.
Yeah. I just think there's a difference between generic, he's coming along, I'm teaching him what I can, versus Kendall saying, yeah, Apke's been straight ball in the past couple of days. And Ron saying he's really starting to get it, and having him bounce back and make that interception was huge for him.
I'm not guaranteeing he's off the team, but I would caution too much excitement over these interceptions in two-minute drills where everybody knows they're throwing and they know the plays and they've been playing each other for 3 weeks on a dude that's not getting first-team work at all.
Okay.
And I think to that point, because you talked about the Twitter thing.
So that was actually my one thing, was to talk about that.
Where you tweet about the interceptions and the nice plays or whatever. I've seen multiple people talking about – I see more on Twitter about Torrey McTyer and any of these other back-end dudes than I see about William Jackson. What does that mean for him? It means that those guys are making interceptions, but
William Jackson's not practicing
right now. But those guys aren't better than William Jackson. Like, those guys aren't going to play over William Jackson.
Correct.
So take it all with a grain of salt when you go with it. My guy Daniel Wise had another good practice today as well.
What is your one? Shout out to the dude that kept track of all the game balls. Says he's going to do it all year. It was funny. I appreciated that. I do, however. And no offense to the guy that's keeping track of this, I think we start fresh for week one.
Absolutely.
If you want to have a, hey, these are the game balls from the preseason, terrific. Yeah. Like, you know what I hate? I fucking hate this. I think I whispered it.
No,
you know,
yeah, it's okay. We'll see.
In the postseason for baseball, all of a sudden some jack wagon's hitting 800 because it's only postseason stats.
I think also if you go from AL to NL, it switches.
Yeah, they do that.
That's
also.
So like, annoying. All of a sudden this guy's one home
Ohtani
run.
If Ohtani got traded to the Mets, he'd have two home runs.
What the F?
Yeah.
It's the junk. Same sport.
It's junk.
Just because there's a DH, you're losing all the stats. I would tell my team to not trade me across the league, so I want to keep my stats.
You would. You're also rooting for other people to get hurt.
Indeed. Right.
So. And Pete's only concerned about his stats.
Yes.
Not the winning.
Lord knows that's the truth.
The only thing that's fun about keeping track of the preseason game balls and goats is to look back at the end of the season and see some of the random game balls that we've given out.
Yes.
Like,
dude, no people. Argument, but there needs to be a separate column
right.
for that.
Absolutely, absolutely. My one thing was on J.D. McKissic. I don't know if we've talked about him a whole lot in camp. He had one play today in particular.
That wheel route was beautiful.
Wheel route over.
Jamie couldn't keep up with him. Yeah. Jamie's got big speed.
Uh-huh.
There we go.
Sorry. Did I jump the gun?
Yeah, a little bit. But, yeah, I thought that was a great route. I think, you know, we've seen Antonio Gibson kind of work his way in to some more passing downs and some of the up-tempo game, two-minute drill and all that jazz. And I think kind of like you talked about – who was it in the game – Antonio Gibson getting the short yard reps.
Yes.
In the game at running back. I think you know who J.D. McKissic is. You know that he's going to be dynamic out of the backfield catching the ball. So you let Antonio Gibson get a lot of those reps today so that he can start getting comfortable. And today, J.P. brought up the play. J.D. McKissic motioned out wide, beat Jamin Davis pretty handily on a wheel route and just would have scored an easy walk-in, easy touchdown. I think we kind of forget about how good J.D. McKissic is and how shifty he is in those third downs and two-minute drills and passing situations. And it was good to see him make a big play today.
Both he and Humphreys have low snap counts this preseason. I think it's because they are known quantities.
And they probably want to keep some of what those guys do low-key.
Yeah, and keep them fresh.
I agree.
Injury issues.
That was a good one,
past.
Mitchell.
That hasn't stopped J.D. McKissic from yapping up
he
and down.
He was shadowboxing Chase Young today.
It's.
I thought it was a real fight for a second.
You know what's great is after each of those, when they run the move the ball drill,
mm-hmm.
when it's mostly running plays and then they might throw a pass at the end once they get down to the red zone, is you saw when the first team defense came off the field, Chase and Montez were over with the offensive players, with Gibson, with McKissic, Cosme, Leno. Kind of discussing, you know, you could see them hand motions and, you know, discussing, I guess, probably what they were seeing and what those guys were doing on some of those run plays. And I just think that's a cool moment. And Ron talked about maturity on defense, you know, in terms of where they were going to rank this year and how they were going to follow up last year. I just think that's a real sign of maturity that, you know, in the heat of battle, quote unquote, during practice, when the guys are yapping and giving each other S, that they can also go over and have teaching moments with each other.
Agree. I think that was all good.
Wasn't about Troy Apke, but that's fine.
Shout out to Danny Gladding. Had me back on the blacktop this morning.
I saw. Oof. I saw your sky picture.
Yeah. I was wondering if you'd recognize
sky
it.
Sky guy, yeah. I
dude,
know that view.
Masks to go to the gym is just awful.
Yeah.
Untenable.
I do.
Like, how are you supposed to run with a mask on?
I just don't. Just don't run.
Yeah. I don't blame you.
Yeah. Running
I choose
sucks.
Not to run.
Yeah.
Out walking the dog, like. People who are mask people are like giving wide berths to people on small sidewalks trying to avoid anybody who's not wearing a mask while out walking.
I have no mask commentary. I'm just saying going to the gym and wearing a mask sucks. Time to go. We'll see you September 2nd. Do you want to perhaps, Mitchell, set the stage for tomorrow or Wednesday, whenever the hell we're potting again. Do you want to set up a wager? You believe you're going to see a lot of starters playing Saturday night.
Oh, ready for this wager.
Well, I'd like to come up with terms. I don't know that we need to do it right now in the sweat lodge.
Sure.
What do you want to say, the whole first half?
That's, I don't want the heat get to you. Think this over.
I think majority of majority of the first half.
That's nebulous.
We can do minutes. I mean,
all right. Set the over under at.
No, that's just.
It's all nebulous. Let's think about it.
Over under 22 and a half minutes.
I think Pete's right to think about it. Over under 22 and a half minutes.
A quarter and a half.
So that's midway through the second.
Yes.
I will sleep on it. Right. We also have to identify what constitutes starters.
Right.
Absolutely.
There's a lot to decide. Hell. We'll open it up to you. Hit us on Twitter.
You were about to toss to a listener line, weren't you?
I know. No, I was. put it on the Instagram.
Okay.
Just put a question up as a post.
Okay.
And let people respond.
All right. I'll take a picture of you guys.
Here's the other thing. I wanted to say this. It's. I think folks are starting to get their Ashburn Syndrome t-shirts. At me and at the pod on Instagram story, and we'll share it. And then everybody can see your beautiful shirts.
Yeah. Because those shirts are damn cool.
Like, Jay got his hoodie. Was that he just sent that to us, or did he put that on Instagram? I don't remember.
I don't remember.
He just sent it to us.
All right. Well, he should have put it on Instagram. At JP Finley, NBCS, at WFT Pod.
Correct.
And whatever you guys are.
At Mitch underscore Tischler, also on Twitter. Help me get to 10,000.
Far too many underscores in your Twitter.
Because I'm a team
Why wouldn't player. You just put NBCS? Didn't that help you, Pete?
Hugely, yeah.
Yeah, just put NBCS on there.
Because I'm a team player, I'll just plug the pod Instagram again, at WFT Pod.
You can plug yours?
Nah, I'm fine.
All right, we got to go. Thank you for listening. Thank you to Oarsman Automotive of Virginia. We'll be at the casino on September 2nd. Hope you are too. Made this far, I owe you a beer. I'll give you one at the casino.
More playing time for my boy.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.